from you. I counseled a couple like that.
Is that right?
Just kidding. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the banner ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love. Our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. All right. Good to see each one here. You know, I did not put together our snacks for tonight. If my wife is back there somewhere, maybe she'll go take care of that. For our young people, I figure as long as we have snacks, as long as we have young people, we should share it. Amen? Amen. How many glad you're here tonight? All right. Got three of you. Good. Hopefully by the end of the night we can get the rest of you going too. So it's good to be saved, isn't it? Isn't it good to be a child of God and love the new birth, love these new babies? Somewhere I think in this building there's another little baby. Somewhere. Now if that baby's here, I just ask you to do something tonight. Don't touch it. Just like this one over here, okay? It's a lot of flu going around. A lot of stuff going around. All right. The natural tendency of everyone, as I said before, when Chase and Rachel started bringing Ezekiel, is to touch the baby. Na touche pas. Okay. In French, that means what? Well, close. Okay. Na touche pas le bébé. Right. Don't touch. Right. So look and whatnot, but don't touch. We don't want babies sick, others sick. So. If you can do that, then that would be great. So we'd appreciate it. All right, let's continue on with our series tonight. We looked at INT. What did I stand for? Righteous. What did N stand for? And what did T stand for? Truthful. These are elements in our life that need to be there if we're going to have integrity in our life. You know, integrity is everything. You know, if you think about it, that's really who you are. And people will watch what you do, they'll hear what you do, and they will believe who you are by what you do. Am I right? That's right. So we're going to be righteous, truthful, honorable, and where's that little clicker? There it is right there. And next, as we go through this, I turn that thing on. There we go. All right. Is truthful is being blameless. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning there, which we'll go to the Lord in prayer as well once we get there. But 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy, just before 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, let's have a word of prayer. We'll take a look at some things here. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we're thankful that we have a place to gather, a place that is cool when it's hot, warm when it's cold, a place of lights, a place of pews, things. We have things, Lord, that the first church never even thought of having. Lord, may we count our blessings every day for what you've provided to us. And Lord, we pray today, meet with us in a special way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Blameless simply means to be without fault or innocent or guiltless or meriting ones looking at you and say, hey, that's a good person. It's a blamelessness. We're not perfect. Everybody knows we're not perfect, but blameless. And I think we see it here, and it speaks about that of a bishop, speaks about that of a deacon. And look at chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be what? Must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, the word there means serious, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man know not how to rule his house, his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he shall fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. By the way, who's he speaking of here? Who's the bishop? The pastor, the elder. There's one difference between a pastor and a deacon, and that's in the wine, okay? And the pastor is not supposed to have any wine. The Bible says the deacon is not supposed to be given to much wine. I think the whole bottom line is they're the same positions. I think the qualifications we see are exactly the same. It's interesting, and we'll take a step back here. We've come into a time in our churches, and I think it's been going on for a while, that people say, well, the deacons run the church. You know, the first church didn't even have any deacons until they had about 6,000 people. Do we understand that? Right? They weren't even there. They didn't have any. And we had, but when you get 6,000, I guess that's important. Somebody said, we need more deacons. I said, why? Why? What? You know, if someone wants that, why do they want that? Am I making sense? Okay. Is it for position? It's happened a lot in our society. Is we take this position and we try to lord it over people. Well, I'm a deacon in that church, okay? And I'm glad we don't have that situation here. But you know, you see that in churches, they try to run the church and they try to look at how the door is, right? The pastor is responsible, but he gives this illustration here to be blameless. You know, that means, you know, it doesn't matter where I am. How many watched the video the other day when for 44 seconds I just went on about life not realizing I was still on? I know Shelley did. Yep, I know a few folks did. I was at the hospital. I thought this would be cool. I'll talk about the baby, the backdrop, the hospital. And, of course, I can't see. So I thought I hit the finish button. I hit the wrong button. I don't even know what I hit. Okay. And I just went on about what I was doing. getting my things in the car, taking off my sunglasses, all those kind of things. And everybody was listening or had the opportunity to listen. Okay? You know, there's a great thing to be said about that in our lives. Just when we think nobody's listening and nobody's watching, somebody is. Am I right? You know, could you imagine if I would have banged my head on the ceiling and just right, all out there, ruined everything, right? So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that in our lives, the way to be blameless is just live the same whether you're with people or without people. Whether you're at home or at church, you know, whether you're at work or at school, it doesn't matter. You are a born again child of God 24/7, 365, and every 4 years, God gives you an extra day to live for Him. That's who we are. And the person who truly lives this blameless life, listen, we do something wrong, apologize for it, right? You know, that's what you do. You say, I'm sorry I said that, sorry I did that, whatever it might be. But so nobody can come to you and say, hey, you know, you did this and you did that and blah, 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 blah. You say, you know, I did that. I apologize for that. I have a clear conscience on this thing. So the idea here to show integrity is to be blameless. And by the way, help me out here. I got a couple young people up front. Boy, I tell you what, they are going to get all the snacks tonight. Hey, nobody else is up here, okay? Do you see anybody else? I don't see George. I don't see Peyton. Okay. I don't see Melody. I don't see Melody. Nah. Anyway, so... Oh. Ezekiel wants some too. All right, I get it. Yeah. I noticed that that baby was born. I said, they need to turn her back in. Once again, this is the sixth time she didn't come with any teeth. You know, you come in this world and go out the same way, diapers and no teeth. You know, there's just not much change, all right? But I didn't know where I was going here. I was going somewhere with this thing about being blameless, and I don't know where I was going, so... Stay up there. Yeah, it's a good idea. Okay. So I was going somewhere with that. I don't know where I'm going with it. I walked down and got distracted. You ever get distracted? Yeah. Yeah, whatever you're doing, you're just living a life for Christ. So look at to live a life that's blameless, that's what we need to do. A clear conscience before other people. That's hard to do. You know, the Bible says there's a time to be sober, and I like to joke. If you don't know that, you should, okay? But, you know, there's a time to be serious in life, too. There's a time to be sober. There's a time to just understand somebody's hurting. You're in a hospital with somebody. There's things. There's a time it's a funeral. There's times to be serious. Blameless is what the Bible says. Oh, that's where I was going. Thanks for reminding me. Blamelessness is based on God's standards. Do we get that? Not the world's standards. God's standards are here, and the world's standards are, well, nowadays they're below the ground, okay? And that's where the world's standards are. We don't live by the world's standards. We live by God's standards, amen? That's how we live. Then this next one is graceful. You know, we've lost a lot of this in our world today. You know, have you ever noticed we've just really dressed down? Anybody? I mean, we buy clothes. We spend more money for clothes with holes in them than we do clothes that don't have holes in them. Right? And there's an idea here. This whole idea of walking in with grace and appearing in grace and dignity. You know, there'll be, a debate tomorrow night on television. And you know something? They'll all be dressed up. There'll be no holy jeans. There'll be no T-shirts. There'll be none of those things. There's going to be, they want people to look at them, and there's a certain grace that's there, certain something that's there. And as we present ourselves, remember, we present ourselves to the world, don't we? Right? That's what we're doing. We're presenting ourselves. We are presenting Christ to the world. There's an element of grace. It's not only in what we wear, it's how we talk. It's our language. You know, when people are walking around, I was at traffic lights, waiting to turn left, waiting for the arrow, and the light was still red, and this other car pulled up, and they were going to, you know, you can turn right on red in Michigan, right? The law is you can if you want to. This person stops, and for whatever reason, they didn't want to turn right on red. The car pulls up behind him. He's laying on the horn. He's calling him every lousy word in the book, yelling out his window of the car to get it. Now, the guy in the truck was smart. He still didn't go. He waited till the light turned green, and then he went. Understand something. You don't have to turn right on red if you don't want to. Right? Yeah. So, but anyway, did that guy in the other car show any grace? No. I mean, who would want what he wants, right? A filthy mouth and a horrible attitude and whatnot. There's an element of grace. It's being able to carry yourself. They used to teach those things. You know, you put the book in your head and you walked, and the rain in Spain lies mainly on the plain, okay, or however that goes, right? And we walk through a certain amount of grace, a certain amount of way that we walk. We don't walk that way anymore. We don't talk that way anymore. It's like we're going down to dirt level. There's a grace. I think a Christian ought to have a different walk, a different talk, a different smell, a different, just something about them that radiates their God's child. I still think of Brother Reuben. I don't think he owns anything but a suit. Now, I met him one day. We were having breakfast, and I wore my golf shirt and a pair of slacks, and I had some work to do at home, so that's my work clothes. And I said, "Reuben, you're killing me, man." Okay, I said, "You're wearing a suit," and he says, and he told me, he said, "I wear a suit because no matter where I go, they ask me, are you a lawyer?" Or something like that. And he says, "No, but I'm glad you asked me. I'm a born-again child of God, and I'm a preacher." And he goes on to tell them about Jesus Christ. I mean, it's amazing. If he sat there like I was, nobody came up to me and asked me, right? I look like everybody else. I got a T-shirt, golf shirt on, and a pair of slacks, right? There was something different. And I'm not saying, look at, if you go home and say, "Well, pastor says we can't wear slacks, we can't do blah, blah, blah," the boogeyman's going to get you. But I'm telling you this, when you leave the door in the morning, ask yourself, how am I representing Christ today? I'm an ambassador for Christ. You know, we send ambassadors over to foreign fields, and they represent the United States of America. As far as those people know, this is America. Look at, as far as people know, you are Christ. And how you walk, how you talk, how you hold yourself, the places that you go, all those things speak volumes to other people. I had to laugh the other day. I watched a gentleman I know. He's become now, and this is in this same text. I'm going to park here for a little bit, all right? The Bible says, not a novice. I believe somebody's going to be a preacher, they ought to learn. They ought to go through a systematic study of the Scriptures and know it. Right? You say, well, the 12 apostles didn't. Yeah, they did. They spent 2.5 years with Christ himself. Right? You know, they spent that time. We're going to spend that time. What happens sometimes, somebody gets mad in the church, and then, you know, maybe they're whatever they do for a living, and they say, "Well, hey, I'll pastor. I'll start the church." They've had not a lick of Bible training. They don't know what they're talking about. They start the church, and they lead people astray. Not a novice, the Bible says. So we need to understand something. There's a call in a pastor's life. There's a call on our life. You know, I think of Esther back in chapter 2. I'll turn there for the sake of time. Verses 15 through 18. Remember, all the women went through and you know, the king had done a bad thing. He got rid of his wife and, you know, got rid of her. So he had to find another one, and all went through. And then he saw Esther. And he found grace in this woman. There was just something there. All I ask you to do today, when you go out in the world every day, is to present yourself graceful before the world, representing the kingdom of God and representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's integrity. That's integrity. We have that. He goes on, and the Bible says after that, that we ought to be, what's it say? Upright, right? Well, what does upright mean? Well, you're either laying down or upright, right? Right? You're either dead or you're upright, and it means to be upright. That's exactly what it means. It means to be upright. I want you to turn to Job chapter 1. It means to be honest and just, adhering to right behavior. It's something like this. Let's see if I can find what I did with that. Okay, so this is my wallet here, and I want some free pizza. Okay, so I'm gonna take. I got a couple bucks here. I said, "Hey, Chase, why don't you put this in your pocket, and then slip me about three pizzas?" Okay, you know, you usually don't do that standing up. You kind of bend over and you whisper, right? Isn't that what you do when you're gonna buy somebody off? When you tell somebody, "Hey, could you tell a lie for me, Peyton? Would you tell a lie for me?" Good for you. Okay, why not? Don't you love me? Say, "Yes, I do. That's why I won't lie for you." Right? That's right. You don't lie for anybody. That's right. So, listen, being upright is being able to stand up, stand with your head up high in front of other people. Now, we got a lot of folks we see in news media that can't hold their head very high anymore, can they? Right? They're hanging down. You ever see them coming out of court? They're like this, right? Hanging down. The Bible says this one, you got to be upright. Look at Job chapter 1. Now, you're going to get accused of something, but back in the book of Job, chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was a perfect and a what? Upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. That word means he hated evil. He was perfect. He was mature. He was a man that was upright. He was an honest man. He was a just man. When he did something, the kids reminded me of something that we had done before. I can't remember what it was. I'll skip that story. But you know, an honest person goes to the store, they buy something, they get $10 too much in change, they get back to the car. And what do? They get out of their car, they go back into the store and say, "You gave me $10 too much." That's integrity, folks. That's what we ought to be. We don't do, "Oh, praise God, he just gave me a blessing." Right? That's what people do. We walk along, somebody drops a diamond ring, "Oh, praise God, God gave me a ring." Right? You know, those are things that we do. Here was a man that the Bible says was honest and just. His behavior was right. In every social interaction, he would not deviate from the Word of God. It's very simple. I've been to meetings before when I was in a business world. Okay, I don't know what happened there, but something happened. I'm back. All right? Praise Lazarus, okay? But I went to a business meeting and they were all drinking, and I have a habit in business meetings, I don't even drink water. I don't hold a glass in my hand. Okay, if they're having this thing together and you have to go to this